from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
I was special teaming it up all during the week.
Patrick Manily.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manily.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Pat Manily, the long snapper, Maynard, put it in position, and Robbie Gould sends the Bears to the NFC Championship game.
The longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
One of the things I immediately missed the most was eating lunch in Dean Pope's office. Dean was one of our video techs, and every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we would kick an eye of his office and eat lunch together. We being Olin Krutz, Roberto Garza, Patrick Manley, myself, and every once in a while, Brad Mayer would sneak in there to get some verbal abuse. We never talked football. We talked trash.
Craft Beer Mogul.
Long Snapper IPA. The can is me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino.
Presenting Devin Hester for enshrinement in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Then it was the Chicago Bears. Thank you for drafting me and giving me 8 great years in this game. You didn't know what you were getting yourself into, but you believed that you had something special coming your way. To the great, Coach Lovie Smith, thank you for believing in me and putting your money on a return game. I hope we made every critic bite their tongue. Coach Dave Toll, the best special team coach in the world, the relationship that we built is like no other. I'm not the only returner who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm just the first. Thank you.
Patrick Manley.
You are ridiculous.
With Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
And chills all over again. If I got him, I'm sure our next guest does. Pat Manley with us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. What up, Pat?
What's going on, guys? Good to catch up. I got to be honest, man. I am tired as hell from that weekend. That was a hell of a time, man. And I'm still recovering.
All right. I mean, you know us, man. We want to live vicariously through you. So pretend it was like you were impressing me with stories of the Grove, Michael Jordan's golf course. Just take us through all of this, man. It must have been incredible. Who was there? What did you do? How did you see it?
Yeah, maybe I'll give you kind of a quick rundown through the whole weekend, and then we can get more into details, because there's a lot of stories, a lot of great people I got to meet. In awe of a lot of people, just being a football fan, which is amazing. But I unfortunately missed Brian's induction. I was out of the country and couldn't make it. So when Devin invited me to be part of his friends and family, I told my wife, I said, I'm doing it all. I'm going early. I'm going to the game. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to golf. I'm going to drink. I'm going to go to the parties. And I did. So Thursday night, went to the game, left kind of halfway through the second quarter to go to the bathroom and grab a beer. And I ran into Caleb Haney and just started seeing everybody that was kind of out in the concourse. And I guess I'll give a quick story here. So right then, Pep is walking out of like the private area of all the Hall of Famers. Like, they have their private section. And he kind of sees me and he's like, hey, Manley, what's up? Thanks for coming out. And I was like, hey, good to see you. And he turns and I'm standing there with Caleb. And he looks and his eyes get big. And Caleb puts his hand out like, hey, Caleb Haney. And he's like, I know who you are. But the cool thing is, guys, Pep grabs him like by his shoulder and said, hey, I just want to tell you, thank you for all you did in the NFC Championship game. I got a lot of pride in you. Just appreciate everything you did. And it was a really neat moment.
That's awesome.
Just to see Caleb's eyes light up and Pep being, as sincere as he is as a human and telling Caleb that after all this time. And it was just, that was a cool moment. So that was one of them. And it was just neat to be, you know, walking around him with his gold jacket on and things like that. Game gets called early. I go home. I text Rasheed Davis, who I knew was standing near me. And he and I, you know, we all stay kind of close. I don't know if you heard Peanut talk about our text chain we had. So we all kind of connected that way. But I texted Rashid, and just a quick story of former teammates. We go to the bar at like 9:30, 10 o'clock. We literally look down at our watch. It's 1 a.m. and we had no idea. We're just telling stories and talking. So it kicked off that way, being a little late. The next day, slept in a little bit. Then Hunter Hillemeyer came in town. And of course, that's when I went golfing with Hunter. And then after that, we went and get grabbed dinner. And then the text chain got started because they had that gold jacket dinner on Friday. And I didn't want to go to that. I just didn't feel like I fit into that yet. But I was invited to like the gold jacket after party. And that's when things started, guys. That's when you're seeing just gold jackets everywhere and faces that, you know, you never thought you'd be in that room with them. And another thing that was great is there were so many people there in support of Devin that it felt like a Bears party. Like we had like a whole wall or a corner of maybe 20 guys there telling stories, having a good time. You know, then they shut down the bar and some people went to the, well, they shut down. That was the free bar, their party, the party bar. So we go to the hotel bar after that. And I didn't want to go home yet because there were still yellow jackets running around everywhere. Teammates were still there. And Spiegs, you'll like this story. I'm sitting at the bar, standing at the bar, and I'm about to go talk to some of my teammates. And I look over to the right, and I'm like, that's Morten Andersen. That's a special teamer in the NFL. One of two kickers. So there's a seat open right next to him. So I just go sit down, order a drink. I don't start talking to him. I just listen to him. He's got the accent. And he's got his family around there. So finally, I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, Morten, you know, I just wanted to meet you. Patrick Manley, former long snapper. Well, he hears that. So he kind of turns his seat and starts talking to me. But I had to tell him the story that he's the original. So Spiegs, he's the original one that taught me how to put cold beer in the back of my car after a game in the locker room or outside the locker room.
So you could then go out after the games with your teammates and the beer's already cold and waiting there for you. Yes. Morten Andersen was the inspiration for that.
And he was. But the other thing is Morten Andersen is a wine guy. So when you went out to Morten's car, you're drinking a $200 and $250 bottle of wine. So I'm not doing that. I'm bringing Bud Lights or whatever else out there. But I just had to tell him thank you and let him know that I carried on that tradition. And he was appreciative. So that was kind of cool.
A legacy.
Seriously. And there's something else that Morten apparently was able to do in college, which is legendary as well. But we won't talk about that here. It's one of the all-time kickers in the history of the sport. Did he respect your career as a long snapper, Pat? I mean, you're right up there.
Yeah, I mean, we did. We didn't get into too much of that. I was playing fanboy and just asking him about all of what he did and you know, all the years he played and coaches and snappers and all that kind of stuff.
This story is so amazing because you are so clearly in awe of everything. But the names that you have dropped so far, just to recap. Caleb Haney, Pep Hamilton, Hunter Hillemeyer, Rashid Davis, and Morten Andersen.
And Julius Peppers. Yeah. Julius Peppers telling Caleb Haney that he did a decent job as the backup trying to scramble and save him.
A third string quarterback coming in there and trying his hardest. And I just thought that was really cool. It was a sincere, like, hey, man, I appreciate you going out there trying to do your best.
I got to say, I love how Pat Manley is calling Hall of Famers yellow jackets. There's yellow jackets walking around.
Gold jackets.
They are. They're everywhere.
All right, so pick it up after Morten Andersen.
Okay. So now we're Friday. Right, this is Friday night, right? Yes?
It was bedtime. So I got the Uber, went home. Saturday got up, and then obviously everything was delayed a little bit, which was helpful. So I go to the Hall of Fame and I'm sitting next to Izzy and just kind of walking around too and listening to the first guys talk and just taking it all in. You know, you see all the Spiegs, all the yellow jackets up there on the couch up in front of you, and you just look and you kind of see who all's here because there's a couple empty seats and it's just amazing that you're there. And then also you've got one teammate in and another teammate going in that day that I played with that are part of that crew, which just blew me away. So you're taking it in that way. Then it gets started and it's just, you know, you're nervous for everybody going up there to speak because that's not what they do, right? And I'm not talking about Devin yet. I'll get into him a little bit. I got a little story about that. But you're like, what are they going to say? How long are they going to go? I laugh. How much is it going to be a me speech or a we speech, all that kind of stuff? What kind of personality is going to come out? So we get to Devin. Israel Adonijé is sitting, like we're sitting on like the seat one. He's like row 14, I'm 15. And he's sitting in front of me and he just turns and just before Devin walks out there, he goes, are you nervous? I was like, yeah, I'm nervous. You know, he's our teammate. We want him to do well. Well, he gets started. If you guys remember, the first two sentences, he's out there just super fast. Izzy turns around and goes, slow down, big guy, slow down. Well, he hits that big pause, right? He hits a big pause. And from then on, man, he killed it. I loved everything he said, the way he delivered it. He talked all about the right people, the amazing life story, and also love that you got to see the side of Devin that he never really showed, that he's not braggadocious, but he's very confident. And he talked about him changing the rules and the things he did for the game. And I like the fact he said that. I really do, because he's never was that way in the locker room. He was always the humble guy and let his play speak for him. But I was just really proud of the way he spoke and everything he said. And I'll be honest with you, I was lucky. I think I was the first former player to give him a hug when he came off the stage, which was kind of neat.
Oh, wow.
So that was a cool thing, just to be able to kind of look in his eyes and say congratulations, and you killed the speech. And then to Pep, I thought Pep was amazing, because Pep never spoke. I mean, we were talking, like, we never heard Pep speak more than 2 minutes long. And I thought he just killed that speech as well. And I was proud of him, you know, obviously going in and being such a great speaker like he was. And that was really cool. And then the moment I was able to capture on Instagram between Coach Tobe and Devin Hester, I don't know if you guys saw that. I posted it on my Instagram. It might be gone from the stories, but Coach Tobe and Devin hugging. It had to be 30, 35, 40 seconds long. Wow. And I don't know what was said back and forth between each other, but when Coach Tobe turned around, I could see it in his eyes. It was that was a moment. That was a really, really neat moment. It was, again, it was just a pinch me moment to be there amongst all these guys and see these emotions and reactions and in live time. And that was special.
Just incredible stuff with Patrick Manley on the Canton weekend for his friend Devin Hester and his friend Pep, Julius Peppers, who he's talking about here. And the Dave Tobe moment sounds amazing. How about that picture with you in the back? You're all the way in the back, and then all the other teammates are there. And then there's Lovie Smith with as big a grin as I have ever seen on that man's face. And Bears fans who know Lovie a certain way, what was he like this weekend? Was he loose? Was he having fun? Was he proud? What was it like?
Yes, he was as loose as Lovie can get. Let's put it that way. but let's go back to the Lovie chants.
That was such a great moment.
Oh, it was amazing. Thank you, Bears fans, for doing that for him and us, his former players. We felt like he deserved that after being fired at 10-6. And when they put the camera on him, I don't know if it was like on TV, but at Canton, you saw, you know, the close-up on his face. And you're like, how is this man holding it in? But that's Lovie Smith, man. He never showed emotion. But back to being able to hang out with him, like at Devin's party, and even – after Pepper's speech, we kind of hung out a little bit for about 30 or 40 minutes, and he was there talking with us. But I was able to, you know, pull him aside at Devin's retirement party and be able to talk to him just one-on-one for a while. And we just told great stories. I kind of told him, I said, Coach, it's been a long time since I've played in our locker room. We weren't choir boys. Can I tell you some of the stories? And he said, all right, big guy, tell some of them. Well, I started to go through some of them, and he goes, all right, that's enough. I got enough. I don't need to know everything. I don't need to know everything.
Even now, he doesn't want to hear about how you guys misbehaved.
No, he doesn't want to know it all. And a lot has to do with TJ's. We were not good with curfew. Let's put it that way.
God. Wow. And then Saturday night, everyone has their own party, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a thing, man. That was – they all, I heard, were impressive. And then late in the night, people started to go to other ones, but I was just tired. It was midnight. It was time to go home. But Devin threw an absolute bash. I mean, it was everything he deserved to be, you know, recognized with the statue there, the DJs playing, everybody dancing, the four other gold jackets that came in, to, you know, all the teammates that I didn't see earlier, to like Johnny Knox, Garrett Wolf, just these names of guys I didn't see earlier in the weekend. I'm like, you guys are here too? So we all got to, you know, pull each other to the side of the corner and tell each other how great we were when we played and all that kind of stuff and tell lies. But we just had an absolute blast. It was just super neat.
DJ play Soldier Boy?
They did. You know what? I'm shocked they didn't play that during the Hall of Fame induction, because I think that place, it was probably 70% Bears fans, would have gone crazy. But it did get played, and that got a little more the energy level jumps quite a bit.
Man,
I imagine.
You know, it's as you're talking about Johnny Knox and Garrett Wolf, and you know, I'm sure some fans, and I find myself thinking, like, what do those guys have to do with anything? Everybody blocked for Devin, right? These are all people who were part of some of those returns. And it's like, it strikes me that the vibe and the teammateship, as Phil Emery said, you were so skilled at, for all you guys for Devin, it's got to be different because everybody's a special teamer who took part in the entire process. That's pretty unique, isn't it, Pat?
I mean, it is. And you even got starters like Israel Adonijay started games. Obviously, everybody talked about Peanut Tillman being a starter quarterback, cornerback, and wanting to be on the punt return team. I mean, everybody wanted to play for that guy, but it was just, it was a special turnout. And it just, it, you know, and I texted Devin afterwards, thanks a lot. And he goes, no, it meant a lot for everybody to come out. And I think it did. I think it meant a lot to him because we had a lot of guys come out that maybe played 2 or 3 years with him, 4 years. I got lucky to play pretty much his whole career. But just the turnout was amazing and the love was definitely in that room. And the other thing is, guys, Devin spent, I just can't speak volumes. It's just, Devin is an amazing dude. He spent so much time with everybody to really tell them thank you for coming and, you know, gave him his time. And he's just a great teammate. And it was a special weekend.
Did you know he had this kind of like emotional depth and like to him as a player? Because we as fans, I don't think did.
Yeah, I you saw it sometimes. I didn't know it was this deep, though. You know what I mean? Is him breaking down and stuff like that. I didn't know it was that deep, but you know, I the emotion was there. You could tell that. You know, you know, he was. Yes, you could tell that.
Can we talk a little sports with you here, Pat?
Sure.
So, the kickoff rule fascinates me, and I know you know current special teamers, special teams coaches. Obviously, Dave Tobe, but you know others, so people will not think that everything you're saying here is just coming from Dave, but. I am fascinated by what is going to happen, and I don't think what is going to happen is what we're going to see in the preseason. What are you hearing? How this is going to be handled?
Talking to Dave Tobe, and he said it, and I was like, "Can I say it?" He's like, "Sure." He thinks the rules possibly will change during the season because they don't know what's going to happen. They have ideas. They tried to, you know, check all the boxes in the off season to try to figure out every situation, but he's like, "Man, situations are going to come up that we didn't think about." That might actually screw the play that we need to alter and fix.
So is he saying that he thinks that it'll change as in they'll do away with it or they would make the touchback the 35 or what does he mean?
No, just tweak the rules amongst what they have right now with within they have right now. You know what I mean?
Like where guys can line up, that sort of thing.
Yeah, something like that. He just said, I think it's going to be a little fluid. He goes, I could be wrong, but I just think there's so much uncertainty that we don't know even as coaches that we might have to have a meeting on a Monday and be like, hey man, this was or Tuesday or whatever after the last game, be like, this is a little crazy. This doesn't work. We've got to fix it. And I was like, what do you think it is? He goes, I have no idea. But every year something comes up and it's just, you know, you never thought it would happen. And it might be something for this rule. And he thinks there's a possibility something can change.
A couple of things stood out to me just from the Hall of Fame game. Mm-hmm. One, there were still some pretty big collisions.
Yes. One.
Like that. So if it was built to eliminate that, it didn't seem like it would work. And then it also seems like if you're going to actually put elite talent out there, offensive talent, I'm saying, like Devin's records could fall pretty easily. And I wonder if teams are going to just say, man, screw it. 30-yard line is not much different than the 25 and just boot it out the back of the end zone.
That's what they don't know. We talked about that as well. He's like, I don't know what we're going to do. How well can we cover? Because, guys, that first live rep in that preseason game is the first live rep anybody's done in the NFL. You're not going live in practice. I'm sure they're not. If they are, it's three-quarter speed because you're not going to go full speed. That's the first time. And what I noticed, too, when I said it to myself because I kind of sat by myself. My wife wasn't with me. I was like, this front line – on the kickoff return team is not going to have seen this speed all camp. And that's what happened that first and second one. They were getting run by, you know, that 5 yards is 5 yards, but listen, those guys can get up to a high speed in 5 yards. So they're not used to that speed. And then the collision can still be there, but the speed of that, it's going to take reps. It's going to take all these preseason reps to get these guys used to it.
I don't think they're as worried about the collisions as they are the appearance of being worried about the collisions. You know, it's like yeah. they've got that in their back pocket. Pat, do coaches like Dave and others have strategies in their back pocket?
Yes.
And can they afford to wait till the regular season to try without the benefit of game speed?
You know, we didn't talk about that of waiting or not waiting, but there are a lot of different kicks. They said we've got a, you know, like Butker in Kansas City, we talked about. There's a couple others I've talked to that there's a bunch of different kicks they're going to try. So I do wonder if they're going to try him in the preseason. I did not want to get into too many specifics about that, but he did mention there might be different players kicking off than just the kicker. Like if you've got a guy who kicked in high school that might be a linebacker, he might be a kickoff guy to give you an extra guy in coverage. So he said there'll be a lot of variability in like what they can do with kicking as far as that. And in situations, there might be a time that it's not the kicker kicking off.
Do you think we'll see A-list players return? Like will Justin Fields return a kick this year?
That's what, I don't know. We talked about that as well. They really do not know. I think they have planned for all this, and they have scenarios and ideas and like who could be the guy to go back there. But I don't know. Like if it becomes ultra successful as far as, you know, just ripping yardage, like you said, they might just kick it off in the end zone. But if it is, then maybe it's worth it to put an A-lister back there and see if you can get, you know, a free touchdown, a free 70-yard return, whatever it would be. So they really don't know. That's the biggest thing that I took away from the people that I've talked to. They're you know, getting started in the preseason, want to get these reps and see what it looks like.
Okay.
The dream would be varieties on the Dave Tobe designed play of Johnny yes. Knox and Devin Hester with like two elite skilled returners back there. And so I assume those are the kind of return tricks we're talking about that they might not want to bother to show until the season.
They did, and they said, you know what the best thing about it for them is? Now they get to coach again. Coaches just want to coach, right? Now they have another play they get to coach. They coach the kickoff return, but they know what was going to happen most of the time. But now they get to dream up stuff, come up stuff. And I was like, Coach, do you put your head on the pillow and like at night and just start thinking about returns? He's like, yep. I go, you can finally get to do that again, which is kind of cool. So coaches get to coach now.
Yeah. All right. Because I've been wondering if I've been overstating it, but then you see it and it looks so weird.
Yeah, man, it's weird. It is weird, Danny. It's just, it's really odd, but it's gonna take time.
It didn't look like it had the potential to be explosive though. Maybe it's me. It looked like it would be a rarity that it gets past, you know, the 10 or 15 right. yard return.
You got to remember who was out there blocking.
Right.
You got to remember who was out there covering, right? So these aren't your core special teams players. Most of those guys didn't get the reps. They're not playing. So when you get guys out there that are like a Brendan Iamadeja who was in town, that just an exceptional blocker, you know what I mean? That's just really good at it. That, you know, that when you put a guy out there and you run a double team off of his butt that we used to talk about, that's a guy that can block no matter where he is. So once you get those guys out there, I think it's going to look a little more clean and a little better. And then you're going to scheme a little bit more with those certain guys.
Pat, did you do any, you know, politicking or campaigning in Canton to get a long snapper into the Hall of Fame?
No, but Devin kind of helped a little bit. You know, he mentioned something about specialists getting in, and then I think Chris Berman spoke about getting a coverage guy, or maybe it was Berman. Somebody mentioned about getting a coverage guy in. I'm all for that, but long snappers, come on, man. That's why I was always in the back of those pictures. You saw those pictures on Instagram? My head was way in the back, about that big, and yeah, that's us. That's where we stand. The coverage guys and all that, I could go for that.
That's interesting. And you were in the middle, in the back. Like, did you line up in long snapper formation? Were all
no,
you guys?
No, it was like the only place I could get on my toes that maybe you could see my nose and above.
Yeah, because you're tall, but you also were double fisting beers the whole time, so you had to
No. It wasn't. No, never.
No, we do never do that. Okay. All right, shout out Morton Anderson. Inspiration yes. for way more than we
all
ever imagined.
All of Famer in more than one way.
Man.
At least three.
Pat, this was awesome, man. It sounded like, yeah, I would love to get the uncensored version of these stories. That sounded like a hell of a weekend.
Wow.
Oh, I've got many more, so anytime, Danny.
All right, buddy. That's Pat Manley. Right. Looking See forward ya. To having
Thanks,
you on the show
Pat.
This season.
Bye, guys.
That's Pat Manley.
Wow.
Man, that is...
Yeah,
he guy's got a fun life.
Oh, dude, and he texted me. Oh, you're gonna hear who the inspiration is behind the beers in the car story. Because I'm like, I thought it was Kyle Orton. Is that you and Kyle would go hang out? I was like, yeah, but you don't know who the inspiration is, and I did not. And the fact that it's Morton Anderson is legendary.
You know, wow. Some people say, you know, when they go low, we go high. Well, when we get called out on TV, we respond. It's not as catchy, but you know. It works for the Parkinson Spiegel Show. Next on The Score.
Radio losers.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Say it with me. Say it proud for all the haters.
Afternoons on the Score.
I heard about it, but I haven't seen it, so I don't know the exact words that would never come out of my mouth. However, I did have a meeting with the players, and something else I was mentioning that, you know, that I made it mandatory for guys to, you know, to have to go out and work, and I did do that.
Yeah, I never just did things just to do them. Come on, I mean, what am I gonna do? Just all of a sudden just jump up and grind my feet on somebody's couch like it's you know, something to do. Come on, I got no more sense than that. Yeah, I remember grinding my feet on Eddie's couch.
There's very few things funnier than the denial with an admission. It's so funny. It's like a very particular brand of nonsense.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Because they are in direct conflict with each other. Mm. The denial with the admission.
Yeah, let's be clear here.
What is going on?
Let's be as clear as we can.
Sure.
The initial report that I had and then Shane followed up with and was able to confirm was that Pedro Grifol on the first day after the All-Star break, the first game, told the players that they would be remembered as the team that had the worst record in the history of baseball. If they were to lose that many games, that they would be remembered. The players would be remembered with that. And he instituted some mandatory running and some mandatory BP. And Shane confirmed it with another source inside that clubhouse. And we went with it. And Shane tweeted it. And then Pedro denied it while also admitting it in the piece of tape that you just heard. So that's the backdrop. And, you know, so that's how we get to the bit of tape that now we're going to hear.
Yeah,
right?
it wasn't the biggest story that you guys had in the world.
No.
We didn't even leave the show with it. Yeah. But it was hey, the manager of the White Sox.
Do better next time, guys.
But I'm just saying, like, it wasn't like we made it into some huge thing. It was a short segment on the show, a tweet from Shane about it. And
it also came with a full-on acknowledgement of how this entire thing is not all Pedro Grifol's fault.
Right.
It wasn't a report out to get him. It was a report of like how bad the mix is and how a lot of the veteran players were basically laughing at Pedro and that he had a fractured clubhouse on his hand.
Yeah, and so then a couple of days later, the Schrift Dog used some time during this valuable 20-game losing streak to address the report.
Gavin has also been a huge clubhouse voice, especially recently. There was a statement. It was just bad reporting that was put out there that Pedro Grifol had lost the clubhouse, basically saying that Pedro Grifol made some statements about if this losing streak happens, it's on the team. It never happened. It was just purely awful reporting by a non-reporter, and a radio station in town unfortunately went with it because that's just what they do. But Gavin spoke up for Pedro, and he said that's not what happened. That's not true, and it was taken out of context. And even though nobody wants to be in this situation, it just shows how this team is still together as one unit trying to get out of it together.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they're not.
Well, it's probably easier now that a lot of the veterans are gone that were upset by the conversation that happened.
What is with these people with these denials that have admissions in them? He says it's bad reporting. He then says it never happened. Then 9 seconds later, he says it was taken out of context. Buddy, that means it happened. If your claim is Gavin Sheets went on the record and said, yeah, that's not how I interpreted what Pedro said, but Spiegs and Shane's sources interpreted it differently, that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Well, that's exactly it.
But I don't understand these names of, like, it never happened.
No,
John Sherman said it never happened. Pedro Grifol didn't even say that it never happened.
He said that he did say that. And look,
why are these people so bad at this?
There is when a manager says something in the clubhouse, not everybody's going to take it the same way. What we reported is exactly how some veterans took it, and that was the language used. And then he comes back with a young player in Gavin Sheets, who, you know, is voicing a different perspective. That's why the term fractured clubhouse exists. So that's a man not understanding how a report can actually still be completely factual going along with a different story you might get from a player that you talked to.
Well, to be fair, Spiegs, bad reporting that Pedro Grifol immediately turned around and said, yeah, that happened. Bad reporting, but the manager admitted to it. What the hell are we doing here?
Well, and that's the thing.
We've removed, like, in our analysis of John Schriffen's ability to do his job, we've removed the personal part, right? He's still making things personal. Like, nobody went to John Schriffen outside of people in my mentions that just like to bring him into any tweet that I have about anything. Nobody went to John Schriffen and said, hey, talk about this. Your boys over there on the score, they're messing things up for you again. This didn't involve John Schriffen, but he needed to inject his personal little opinion. That's the only thing I have a problem with.
Yeah, listen, I mean,
there's like one more quick thing. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I mean, you're
there are repercussions to going out there with information that you don't have confirmed. Like, I'm not a journalist. We're not journalists. You work in radio.
You're a non-reporter.
I'm a non-reporter, bad reporter.
Reporting by a non-reporter.
Okay. Yeah, this, I almost just said a bad word. I am just tired of it, man. I'm tired of it. And if the White Sox were good, we wouldn't have to deal with any of this. I wouldn't care if John Schriffen's good at his job. I'd
probably still care.
You wouldn't go out there with this if it had not been confirmed.
Exactly.
Right, Shane?
Well, oh, my God.
You might be a non-reporter. I'm sure maybe he thinks I'm a non-reporter. And I am. We are. But we put this through journalistic tests.
We have relationships.
Well, I'll tap my Lissagor Award and say that I can be a journalist occasionally and just say...
Do you keep it in there with you?
No, I don't. But, you know, it's like the Rudy sign. You know what I mean? It's there. There can't... By the way, where are they looking at building the new Bears Stadium? Where's that being looked at?
Yeah, I had that report too. Bad reporting.
Right. That now is the biggest sports business story in the city.
Yeah.
Broke by Shane.
That they're still looking downtown.
You know, so, this show in the last year has broken a few stories, all of which have been confirmed, won a major journalism award in the city of Chicago. And while I had nothing to do with the journalism of the gathering of this story, you know.
You know what we did.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, we all kind of have, like, a stake in the game of when things get said on the Parkinson Spiegel show. And so, like, before the show, when I got back and you guys were like, hey, we've got a story, you know, I was like, well, can you guys just, like, walk me through how the story came to be? And you guys walked me through it, and I was like, oh, well, you've definitely crossed over any sort of journalistic threshold to get it on the air. Not that you two need my approval, but, like, you know, again,
but we collaborate on stuff.
Tap sign, like, know what we're doing in this regard. And so when he says bad reporter, awful reporting, it's like, well, or kind of an undefeated record of reporting.
Yeah, there's a desire to pick fights that has been going on all season long. I don't know if he feels attacked. It goes back to that tweet that he then deleted to Jeff Agrest, which I know that some folks saw, and there was a oblique reference to, you know, the truth about what has been going on in this town, which was an odd thing. So look, the last thing that I want to do is go after that guy.
It's not the last thing I want to do. I can think of things I want to do less, for sure.
I'm
showing tremendous restraint. I would like the record to be shown.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Listen, yes. Saying never happened and taken out of context is in direct conflict with each other, buddy. That's the truth. Those two things don't mean the same thing. You could say it never happened, which would not be true, or you could say it is taken out of context, which could be true, depending on the person that you're. It's very possible that Gavin Sheets had a different context of what Pedro Grifol said than the people that Spiegs and Shane talked to, who, by the way, different people. This is not one sourced reporting.
Correct.
So, like, you know, so yeah.
This is, it's
so he can take bad reporting elsewhere.
The awful reporting by a non-reporter and a radio station in town unfortunately went with it because that's just what they do. But
yeah, buddy.
That's just what they do.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're barking up the wrong tree, man.
And his partner. I mean, imagine being his partner and working here. Imagine being his partner and working here and having relationships with a lot of us that through the years and coming on and talking to us on and off the air. And then that's just what they do. You know,
well, I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
I know it, Steve. I know it. It's what a level of awkwardness John is creating for everybody. And it doesn't need to happen the way he's made it happen repeatedly.
It's just not necessary. The team is bad enough. Stop calling more attention to how bad the team and organization is.
Are 20 game losing streaks bad?
If you like to win.
Okay, got it.
Right. You're right.
Good job on the restraint, pal.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, man. There's a lot going on.
Thank you.
And I know you as I know how you can lash. You know.
Yeah.
We all have lashing tendencies.
I don't like that. Bad reporting. It's just what they do. We don't let bad reporting go out over the station and the show.
Thought long and hard about whether to say this or not, and dug around to make sure that it was double sourced.
Don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's okay.
On a local sports station.
You know, Danny,
he's just not that interested.
It's a fair question. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Everybody, we are live.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on the score.
We're having a little fun.
All right, stories of my failures.
I'd get a kick out of it.
Yeah, last week I shared that I was being a terrible distracted driver and on my phone, and I pulled into the parking garage here in the building, and I did about $1,000 worth of damage to the passenger side rear door when I hit a pole, or at least that's the quote that I got. And Shane goes, boiling hot water in a plunger. I'll take that dent out, no problem.
I heard that, as did my wife, and we had a discussion later that night about how we're not buying that as a possibility that Shane can actually fix your car.
Well, I was supposed to drop the car off today at the auto body shop, but I was like, you know what? No. Shane's a real man. I'm obviously not. I'm going to give him a shot at it. And today he's like, yeah, just bring in a plunger. And I'll take care of you. And then I had some calls and meetings before the show. And so I took Shane down and said, hey, here's where I'm parked. Go get, you know, obviously everything's for content around here. You got Kevin Lapka, our video guy.
Yeah, he's working on editing the video right now.
I gave you the keys to my car, which I still haven't gotten back.
They're at your desk.
Okay, lovely.
Where'd you get the boiling water?
From the boiling water machine.
Okay.
And I assume the dent is has been removed from my car?
Well, I didn't say that I could for sure do it. I said I'd give it a shot. I've seen it before. I think it's done.
A little more confidence than that, the initial protestation.
There are some caveats, okay? There are some caveats. The portion of where, like, your car was hit, that part of the exterior of your car by the back of your door is denser than, like, if it were to have hit the fender.
It's denser?
Yeah, it's denser over there. And there's also...
The fender?
There's also a natural valley in the door, right?
It's denser over there.
And then
watch out, it's denser over there.
Where I've seen it done, I've got two more caveats for you. Where I've seen
it's
it done,
denser.
On the
I don't
fender,
know if any caveats are going to get better than denser.
Some cars, especially when they're older, you can get your hand up in the like on the underside of the fender, so you can also help push it out a little bit when you're pulling with the plunger.
Buddy, I'm driving a new CRV, buddy. Urban Gray.
Third caveat.
Wait, so my car's too new for you to fix the dents?
And too dense.
That part was too dense. Third caveat.
What I said was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I guess you know the rules better. That's a bad plunger, dude.
Plunger?
That is not. That's like, it's a plunger with, you know, the outside and then another insert inside, which was not letting me get.
It's the double plunger.
Suction.
It's a standard government issue double plunger.
You told me you had a tool to do this. And then you told me not to do that.
Right, but I read into it a little bit more and I could have done more damage to your car with what I was going to use. And I didn't want to do that to your car.
This morning in the text thread, you said your plunger was too good. You needed Danny to bring his regular garden variety plunger.
I did not say my plunger
What'd
was
too good.
What'd
you say? You said yours was too fancy.
I had a stronger suction that was probably going to crack the body even more.
Okay. Even without dense it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
So wait a minute. My car
from the reading that I was doing.
My car is too new and too dense for your tool.
Hey.
But too dense and too new where
Shane,
my tool isn't good enough.
No disrespect. Is it possible that you are too dense?
Very. But if that's the way you're interpreting what I said, then I can neither confirm nor deny that that happened. But that's the way you're going to interpret it. People will interpret it different ways.
Right, right. It was bad reporting. It did
you're
or did
non-reporter.
Not happen.
You're non-reporter.
So is my car in the same shape, worse shape?
Same shape.
Same exact
A little bit cleaner from the water.
a little bit cleaner from the water.
Oh, my God. Shane, I thought one of the caveats would be, if you've ever seen this done where boiling water and a plunger is used to remove a dent from a car, is one of the caveats that it ends up looking like ass. Because I could see it like, oh, it's sort of fixed. Yeah, it's kind of even, but there's still like a crease where the dent was. It's just like that kind of thing. It seems like a lower end thing than a man of Danny's means with a brand new urban gray car might accept.
Well, I was just trying to save him a little bit of money. I just wanted
him to... We knew I was going to have to get a new paint job.
Right, paint, sure. And then whatever crease is there, if I could have gotten the dent out, could have just been buffed out.
I see.
So yeah, the point was to reduce the $1,000 bill to something less. But so it sounds like I'm dropping the car off at the body shop tomorrow and taking an Uber to the wall in Gurnee.
I mean, figure it out. I don't know.
Figure it out. Okay.
It's also not a bad dent at all.
No, it's
like
not.
You can drive around with that.
I know.
No one's judging you.
A lot of people do.
They're not judging you for the dent.
Right.
So much urban gray we're judging it for.
It's a slick color, I'm not gonna lie.
It does look
like
good.
We make fun of it, like that Danny was so pumped that they have a new color.
Well,
urban gray.
I don't know about you guys. I'm not surprised that urban gray's play calling did not transfer to the NFL. Yeah. I've never been surprised. It makes sense to me that it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. So you would just not get it fixed.
Remember when Urban Gray grabbed that girl's ass in the bar?
It was rude.
In Columbus.
It was rude. And then the kicker said he...
Urban Gray was married. He really should not have done that. Should not have done... I mean, listen, I don't want to spend that kind of money to fix it.
So don't,
just
man.
Just drive around in the car with a dent.
There's people out there, and by necessity, and I've been one of them before, where like you're driving around with a bumper being held on by like a piece of rope.
Well, I don't want to do that.
I know, but people do.
More successful.
All the time, you know? Use a hefty bag to kind of hold your window or your windowless door in place, you know?
Right.
Okay. Be a man of the people.
Well, a windowless door would mean that it's just the door. You're saying a door without a window.
You know what I've exposed? I'm too dense.
Yeah.
I got a plunger for you.
It's not going to work.
Apparently not.
Your plunger's too good. That's one of the caveats.
That's not good enough.
No, I think it was too good.
It's a very suburban, like, hoity-toity plunger. You know?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Plunger draft!
I can't win.
It's definitely a hoity-toity plunger.
I got a hoity-toity plunger, too new of a car with dense
North doors. Shore Winnetka frat boy.
Yeah, it's a very North Shore plunger.
Not Winnetka, not a frat boy.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you,
I got
Steve.
You.
Thank
I got
you.
You.
Yeah, it was not in a frat. It was Glenn.
Like, this Winnetka. Plunger went to a private preschool.
Wow! Yeah. Okay. Well...
Did this plunger have a tutor for the SATs? Yeah.
The plunger didn't need to take the SATs because daddy's on the board.
Oh, got it.
So it's a Nepo plunger.
It's the dream. All right. Well, sports around here are pretty terrible until we get the Bears. But there is something that the whole country seems to be getting behind. Next on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.